I mean, you know what? It's a very he made the point, obviously, with regards to Bitcoin or crypto being a Ponzi scheme and it being a plan to, I think his phrase was it's going to be a plan to crash the global economy, something along those lines, right? Why would it be crypto? Was my thought. Because genuinely, like, if we're talking about Ponzi schemes, did we have central banks?
Hey everybody, it's Isaac on the intro to the intro. You know what that means. It means we've got a special guest. And as I told you in the past, in the year 2024, I am aiming for a little bit of self-improvement here and there. It's going to be conspiracy adjacent topics, all right? And today we're going to be joined by my favorite crypto expert, and he's yours too, James McMahon. He's been a sponsor of this show for years. You always hear my ads on the free feed, copymycrypto.com/Isaac, where you can sign up for a buck. Well, now we're going to pick his brain. He's going to walk us through the history of cryptos, a fun little story about how his friend told him to buy Bitcoin back at 50 cents. That's right. We'll talk about his experience looking into these crypto cycles and halving and pumping and predictions, and, you know, using cryptos as an investment vehicle. And then I'm going to ask him some of the questions about, you know, are we currently in a bull cycle? How long will it last? All crypto specific, and then I'll even get a hot take from the Max Azzarello manifesto, the guy that lit himself on fire, because that inside the manifesto, Max Azzarello was talking a lot about the crypto quote-unquote Ponzi scheme. It's actually a subject I talked about with Josie on Breaking Social Norms a couple weeks ago, but he, James, is familiar with it, so we're going to hear straight from a crypto expert what he thinks about that. The crashing of the U.S. dollar, the Great Reset, all this stuff comes up in our conversation. It's a fascinating, fascinating talk. So take a listen, and while you're listening, you can check out the links in the show notes for his YouTube, at Crypto with James is his YouTube channel for free, or you can sign up for his copymycrypto.com/Isaac for a buck. Here we go.
All right, folks, today we're joined by the man who made one of the greatest crypto calls in history, calling Phantom the best cryptocurrency of the year in May 2020, which would later go on to increase by 692 times. That's a 692x flip. He's my expert to follow when it comes to cryptocurrencies because I've been listening to his videos for years now, and I want the audience to pay attention to what he's got to say. Today's guest is my crypto sensei, James McMahon, and today we're going to catch up on the state of affairs in the world of crypto investments. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, Isaac. How you doing, man?
Good. Oh, man, I'm excited to talk to you. You know, people sometimes when I meet them or I email them or whatever, they're like, oh, I can't believe I'm talking to you. I listen to you all the time. That's how I feel right now because I've listened to so many of your videos and I'm like, man. Now, I know I'm limited on time with you because you're a busy man. So I want to get right into it because I've got so much to talk to you about because cryptos, I've been on this roller coaster since I had a friend who was into cryptos back in like 2016 and I started investing back then. And I've been on, I guess this is now my third sort of ride on the roller coaster. I don't know how many more I can take, but I would like briefly, you know, take 5-10 minutes. If we could go through your background, I know you're a qualified guy. You know what you're talking about. I believe you have experience in, you know, I don't want to call it proper investing, but non-cryptocurrency investing maybe. Could you run through your history of how you got to this point where you're now coaching so many great people on the crypto markets?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, first of all, look, so if people don't know, I run the Crypto with James YouTube channel. Despite the name, I will point out, I don't actually like crypto. Crypto is a great investment, but I think there is a very dodgy sort of fanboy culture within the world of YouTube at the moment, where everyone's very excited about it changing the world. I personally don't care about that. I also think there's a lot of negatives that are going to come from crypto, which I'm happy to talk about in the future, like later on.
This is why I love you, James. Here. This is why I love you, because I actually share those a lot of those sentiments. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to drill into them. And the thing is I'm here in the crypto market because that's where the money is. Like, this is where you can make phenomenal money. So I actually started the channel. Like, I'd been investing for quite a while into crypto prior to the channel, and then you know, lockdowns happened and you couldn't move, you couldn't leave your house. So I decided to create the YouTube channel from that. It was more boredom. It was more, I wasn't allowed to go for a fucking walk. So I created the channel and I just really wanted to test myself, see what my knowledge was against, you know, some of the more prominent YouTubers at the time. And I shared the coins that I was buying on the videos. And as the sort of following built on YouTube, I made a spreadsheet to track everything so people could actually see how they were getting on. And the performance of those coins just was excellent. You know, some coins were 30x and 40x and 50. You know, we had some 60s, and then obviously the Phantom went up nearly 700 times. So the results were there for everyone to see. And the subscribers were starting to ask, you know, what am I buying? What am I buying? What am I buying? Which is why I built Copy My Crypto, mainly because it was just an easier way to get the information out. Like anyone that's watching now, if they go to copymycrypto.com/Isaac, they can join up for $1 and they'll see my entire portfolio. And that's what copymycrypto.com is. It's where I share my entire holdings. So when I buy a coin, I tell my members what coin I'm buying, why I'm buying it, what percentage of my cash I'm going to put in. I tell them when I sell a coin as well. So they're getting in at coins at the same price, getting out at the same price. So they make the same profits. Most of my members have never invested in anything, but they're making great money in crypto because they're just copying along. Now, with regards to Bitcoin, my actual exposure to that was really early. Like, do you remember Silk Road?
I've heard of it. I'm familiar. No, right. I'll say no.
So back in like Bitcoin ended up being the medium of exchange, like for Silk Road, which was where people online would buy drugs or something, right?
Like the dark web, is that synonymous with Silk Road?
Yeah. So like my mate was like the 70th person to join Silk Road. And you like, because the way Silk Road worked was you got a number for like when you joined. So he was one of the first people to join the site. And he was telling me about Bitcoin when it was 50 cents. And he was like, mate, you've got to buy this. And he was explaining when Silk Road's really busy, when people are buying, you know, when people are buying whatever they're buying, whether it's, I don't know, weed, LSD, whatever it is, Bitcoin, the price is spiking really, really high. And the price is rising. And this was when it was 50. So these are back in the days where you could go onto a faucet and you could click the faucet and you get half a Bitcoin. So he was telling me about 50 cents at $2, at $5, at 10, at 20. And I just, you know, honestly, I felt like I missed the boat when it was at $20.
Yeah.
Because I was fairly new to investing by that point. You know, got a few bits and bobs in other realms, you know, some precious metals and stuff like that. But I was still quite new to it. And then, you know, I saw it go from 50 cents to 20 bucks. And I'm like, I've missed it. Which is now, like, I can look back at that and smile. Also, part of me can go, it would have been nice. But a lot of people still view crypto like that. You know, I've missed the boat. But it's like, you have, probably on Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin's still going to go up, but you've got to understand there's like over 2 million other cryptos. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of that that's terrible. But there's still a good amount that's going to go up. You've not missed the boat on anything other than really Bitcoin. Again, Bitcoin will still rally. So,
so at what point did you start investing? Because you said, you know, your friend, is your friend like rich now? I mean, was he, you know, maybe you can't say that. I don't want to talk about it, but
there's only so much I can say on
that. Okay. At what point
he's all right.
Okay. At what point did you start taking it serious and saying, man, maybe I should start buying some of this stuff?
Between 2015 and 2016, I was really diving into the whole market. So I was like, and my first real like successes were I got in really early on Ethereum. I got in really, really early on Dash. I got in really, really early on Nano, which did a huge run. And I got in exceptionally early on Neo, which used to be called Antshare. And that was like pennies at one point. And then that 2017 cycle, it went up to over $100. It was like, it's astronomical. And yeah, it was just like those... That was a really solid learning curve, like, because there was some rubbish, but it was minimal, mainly because as well the market was quite new. But what I wasn't experienced with in that first cycle that I was properly in was how quick a bear cycle can kick in, and it happened fast. So that was a really good learning curve. Like, I, you know, like Dash is one. So Dash is a very good example, because I got into Dash when it was about $10, and it went up in that first cycle to over 1500. It was like a huge run, and I watched it going up, and I'm like, right, cool, I'm done. And then you see the bear cycle kick in, but you don't really think it's a bear cycle, and you learn. So I was pretty piss poor at like cashing that first run out. You know, it still made some profits, but it's not like what it should have been. So yeah, that was a really useful experience in terms of like how to prepare for the next one.
And I will say that, because my friend got me into it, and I don't remember. I think it was like October, November, December of, I think it was 2015 or 16. I don't remember. I didn't understand it. He was super into computer stuff, and he was like, no, I'm telling you, this is legit. And I watched it for a few weeks, and it was going up. And I remember, like, I got to set this up. And I finally got a wallet. I bought some Bitcoin at, I want to say it was maybe 10 grand or something. And it kind of just went up all, for about a month or two. And I said, holy crap. I mean, we're talking like a few $100. I was super broke back then. And and it went up, and it hit like 20K. And I was like, okay, I'm buying more. And then next thing you know, it like just started tumbling. Dumped. And just went all the way down. And, you know, so I know the feeling of people that have gone through this sort of bull bear cycle. And then to, as a testament of your service and why I believe in you, and why I honestly, you know, you're obviously a sponsor for the show, but I actually believe in your research and your work. I witnessed it, because when we started going into the last crypto bear cycle, you had videos and you were saying, Hey, like you should, you know, hey guys, you should dump these certain coins and, you know, invest over here in these other coins. And at the time I had a weird mindset, because I was like, no, I just bought those, and I'm going to sell them at a loss. And little did I mean, and then it just kept going, and now I've been bled dry and I'm at the bottom, and I'm like, I mean, I should have listened to James. What am I doing? Hold on to this. I should have sold this. And maybe it comes back up. Maybe it's done. I don't know yet. That'll tell. But you definitely have the experience and the expertise, because man, I should have listened right off the bat. But
dude, it's one of those though, like, greed's always going to take over. Like, there's a reason that the measures of the market is the fear and greed index. Like, you know, it's a very old phrase, like, when everyone's greedy, be fearful, and when everyone's fearful, be greedy. It's the counterintuitive, like, thinking of, oh shit, everything's dropping in price, I should buy now. Whereas most of us, like, most people panic and sell, and the reverse. When everything's going up, maybe it's time to cash some profits, maybe. And it's just, that comes with time in the markets. Like, it's not, you know, it's the first ability, it was the biggest mistake I made comfortably in 2017, 18. It was, I mean, I mean, you, like you said, you got in on that when it was right at 20K. You remember how fast that dropped? It was quick.
Yeah.
It was quick. I remember watching it going, this can't last.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. And that takes me to another question I've got. I'm going to ask you if we're currently in a bull run and how long you think it'll be and all that stuff. But first, I've noticed a lot of crypto researchers, they will look at past cycles of, you know, bull and bear cycles of the, you know, the curve. And everything I learned, because over these last few years, I've been researching on like stock investments and trying to understand how people invest in stocks, read a bunch of books and things. And what I've read in the sort of, you know, Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch mindset was the there's a term for it. You probably know it, but like the history of the stock market is in no way a predictor of the future of the stock market. And I don't know, is crypto different? Because it seems like a lot of guys will, and you know, on your videos, you go through like these candles and things. It seems like a lot of crypto researchers will say, yeah, we followed this curve and then it crashed. And then, so that means by, you know, by August of 2024, we're going to be at a peak of the bull cycle or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah. So one thing I will say within the crypto space, TA has become a massive like thing. And I think there's a lot of quote unquote influences. I personally hate that term. It's so wanky, but I guess I fall into that bracket. But like, there's a lot of YouTubes or Twitter handles or whatever that talk about, that use TA and they use it as though they're experts. And I see a fair amount use it incorrectly, but usually, you know, you can source it and it's been taken from someone else.
Oh, what's TA mean for, you know, I'm sure a lot of people aren't.
Sorry, technical analysis. So it's like the technical analysis of the chart patterns. So Warren Buffett, by the way, has a very good mantra for investing, which is he doesn't invest in something he can't understand, which I personally, like, I think that's a very good way of approaching things, because then you're taking accountability for how you're going to do things. Now, the phrase that you used with regards to history, I personally have a slightly altered definition. So history doesn't necessarily repeat, but it does rhyme. And that's the mantra that I sort of use. So, you know how you were, so I'll talk about Bitcoin for a second, and then I'll talk about stocks. So like Bitcoin, if we look at the halving cycles, right? For anyone that's unfamiliar, you know, every 4 years, roughly, Bitcoin, the difficulty of mining Bitcoin doubles, which means half the amount of Bitcoin is produced. So if you look through all the halvings, right, the first halving happened and it took 1 month for Bitcoin to pump 50%. The second halving happened, it took 4 months for Bitcoin to pump 50%. The third halving happened and it took 5 months for Bitcoin to pump 50%. So what we're seeing is a longer time frame that's drawn out. And actually, when you look at the bull cycles after each halving, they're getting longer. And so logically, we've just had a halving like last month, right? Yep. So in theory, this should take at the bare minimum 5 months to then start seeing a 50% pump from where it was, right? But you would think 6 to 9 months potentially. And it's just what we're seeing with Bitcoin is this sort of widening of timeframes. And it's been fairly consistent. And then if we look at something like stocks, so in 2000s, the dot-com bubble happened, right? And it was around August 2000. Now, I personally can't remember it. I was like 13. I was watching fucking Nickelodeon, Saved by the Bell, you know? But I know the history of it, right? And what ended up happening was that dot-com bubble happened and we started seeing tech companies collapse. And that first one collapsed and then they all started going. Confidence started wavering and the collapse continued and continued and continued and continued. And it caused this huge drop in the S&P 500. Now, look, that's an event. But what we can use, if we put that dot-com bubble at the forefront of our mind, right? And we use that moment, that event and how it happened, we could have applied that same logic. Anyone could have applied that same logic to the banking crash that happened. Because in 2007, when the banks started, you know, the mortgage crisis and everything else, right? And there's many reasons beyond that caused that crash. But the first bank fell. And then the next one, the next one, the next one. And you just started seeing the tumble in the S&P 500. But if you'd have had if you'd have viewed it through the lens of the dot-com bubble, you could have shorted the shit out of the S&P 500 and you'd have made a mint.
Oh,
So it's not like, I'm not suggesting, because you're right, history isn't going to tell you past, like, future results, but it can give you insight as to future, as to the potential future outcomes. And okay, that's how I tend to view things, is that it's history might not repeat, but it often rhymes.
So do you think we're currently in a bull cycle in the crypto markets? How long do you think that'll be? Is there a peak? And do you have like a forecast of when the peak might be?
So I'm viewing it like this. I mean, we're having a lot of interesting people jump out of the woodwork at the moment, like well-known Bitcoin holders, you know, Anthony Pompliano, I can't even say his bloody name, Pompliano, and all those guys are jumping out of the woodwork talking about Bitcoin price predictions and stuff. What I look at is the cycles. So as I said, with the first halving and how, you know, it only took a month for 50% and so on and so on and so on, right? If we're viewing it from that lens, and if that lens is gonna, and if that is gonna continue, then in all likelihood, we've got, the halving was last month, so it might take till September, October, November, December, before we start see it, before Bitcoin has reached a 50% rise from the price it was at when the halving happened. But then it's at a new all-time high because of how high it was at the time. But also what we're seeing as well is, you know, from each bull cycle, the times have lengthened. It was a very short bull cycle after the first halving. It didn't last very long at all. The 2017 cycle, when you actually think about it, did not last very long. The most recent one ended up lasting about a year. And so by that logic, what we're seeing are two things. The phrase that's often used is diminishing returns, because the actual percentage gains on Bitcoin is smaller and smaller each bull cycle. Even though the price is getting astronomical, if you look at percentage gains, that's smaller each time. So you would still expect a smaller percentage return, but it's going to take a longer time frame. So I'd be looking at this. And also, by the way, in the last bull cycle, we had two waves. For the first time, we had a really big run in May, like April, May, and then it crashed. And then it had a second run across October, November, December, and it went to a new high. So there's a real common train of thought of people think that that's going to mimic, and we're going to see a two wave cycle. I think there's a very high likelihood we see a three wave cycle this time, where we've already seen the first peak. Now the ETFs have thrown things out of whack, because the Bitcoin ETFs, like, caused Bitcoin to hit a new all-time high before the halving. That's never happened. So things have turned on its head a little bit. But I think there's a good chance we're going to have a correction for a little bit, maybe a month, 2 months. Then with some sideways action, then a new high, and then another pullback, and then another new high before an inevitable sort of bearish cycle. I think the bear cycles are going to be less extreme as a result of things like ETFs, but I think there's probably a three wave coming. I think this could last till summer of next year. I think it's just going to be spread.
The ETS, because I feel like it's fair to say you're bullish on Ethereum, which as am I. And yep. I've read that they're talking about Ethereum getting an ETF approved, but then I saw in the news they're claiming that no, they don't think it will go through. What's Ethereum look like in the future? Because I've heard in your videos you talk about how, and there's terms you use, I can't remember, but like Bitcoin's kind of the, I don't know, leader of the pack. And so when you see Bitcoin going bullish, you know that at some point in the future, all these other, you know, Ethereum and then all these other altcoins will kind of rise with it. What's our future look for Ethereum looking like here?
Well, so the way it works with the market generally is Bitcoin moves first, right? Every money flows into Bitcoin. And then as Bitcoin's sort of starting to hit a bit of a stagnant price point, the money flows out of Bitcoin into the altcoins. So that's why Bitcoin's first on the movement. Ethereum is it's the first smart contract platform ever, right? There is a thing of first mover advantage. Bitcoin is the most well-known crypto because it was the first crypto. Right? Ethereum is the first smart contract. Now, the ETF situation is ridiculous. It's the most corrupt thing I've ever seen, ever. Like, that's on actual video. Gary Gensler, who runs the SEC, has testified in front of Congress that Bitcoin is not a security, that Ethereum is not a security, right? He's testified unequivocally. They're not securities. And then he got his ass handed to him by Bitcoin finally getting an ETF. And he lost his case to Ripple, who create XRP. He lost that court case. So now he is trying to get Ethereum reclassified as a security. Even though he's on camera, in front of Congress, explaining that it's not security. It's as corrupt as it gets. And it's basically because he lost and he's a bit sour. It's why he's the most one of the most hated men in crypto. He actually messes with the markets as much as Elon Musk in terms of like the impact that he has with these things. Now, Ethereum as an ETF is going to happen. It's not a question of like if. It is inevitable because the legal reasons that Bitcoin was allowed to have an ETF is the exact same legal reasons that Ethereum will. What they're doing is the same thing they did with Bitcoin, which is the SEC can delay decisions for as long as they possibly can. There's no illegality to it in the realm of illegality, right? So they can go, no, we're not ready to make a decision. Delay it for 2 months. No, we're not ready to make a decision. Delay it for 2 months. That's what he's doing with Ethereum until he has to say yes. It's just that is all that the situation is. It's just frustrating from a standpoint of like how many more people could enter the market, how much more money would flow into the market. You're stopping that. You're stagnating the market because your butt hurt because you lost a few court cases.
Yeah. I understand, because I was watching your YouTube, which you've uploaded a ton of videos in the last couple months, and you had a video about Ethereum that was really good. And the way I understood it was that it's the smart contract crypto, and it's sort of, I don't know, set the framework up for contracts on crypto. And now you've got all these secondary or altcoins that run off of that, I don't know, framework, where Ethereum is still the underlying sort of base layer. Is that right?
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah. So basically, look, man. So I always come back to this. First mover advantage is such an important thing in everything, like in every walk of life. Like, why is Uber the most well-known ride sharing app? Because it's the first mover, right? There's tons of others now. There's tons of others for delivery stuff as well. But the first movers always win. Ethereum was the first smart contract platform. We now have tons. We have Solana, we have all of these things. But what Ethereum is the biggest by a mile. Now, no one really, you can use Ethereum to trade and you can use Ethereum to swap, and people still do quite a lot. But everything that's being built on Ethereum now is insane. You've got, I don't want to get too techie, but you've got Polygon, Arbitrum, Optimism, Zero, ZK rollups. You've got Immutable X, you've got Chromia, you've got Cartesi, you've got all these cryptos that are built on top of Ethereum. And the whole job of them is to remove the work for Ethereum. So instead of like all these transactions going through Ethereum, they're going through all of these different places. So Ethereum is like the mothership, and all of these chains are the drones doing the work. So what has ended up happening with Ethereum, the mindset of people with regards to Ethereum has shifted. Ethereum is now being viewed like a store of value, very similar to how Bitcoin's being viewed, because you don't need to use Ethereum. You still will, and plenty of people still will, but there's so much built on top of Ethereum. In real terms, Ethereum is more valuable than Bitcoin. Like, there is no reason that Bitcoin is more valuable than Ethereum, except for the fact that it's digital gold. But Ethereum should have more than $1 trillion market cap by a large margin. Like, it's a very strong project. And it will always be viewed that now.
So if, Solana is a big name, and if Solana, if Ethereum, I mean, people who like me who aren't really don't understand crypto entirely, we think, well, you know, because I've actually talked to people who said, yeah, Ethereum is going to go belly up and go away. And if that was the case, then all these other ones you're talking about, Solana and all these other ones, they by default would go away too, right? Because they ride on the Ethereum sort of framework. Or is that a weird way of thinking about it?
No, that's not quite. So Ethereum is like a separate blockchain. Solana's got its own. So Solana's not connected. Solana's a competitor. What we end up seeing, like, there's a very common narrative called the Ethereum killer narrative. Like, is this the next best smart contract platform? So, like, Solana's a direct competitor in the same way that, you know, many others, Avalanche, Cardano, there's tons that are competitors. The thing is, none of them move first. Ethereum moved first. And everything, like the polygons that I talk about, or, you know, like Polygon is just a solution on top of Ethereum. All it does is it takes all the work off of Ethereum. So nothing, you don't have to put transactions through Ethereum because it's slow, it's clunky. It is. But Polygon is rapid. So all of these are being built on top of Ethereum. So the strain on Ethereum is lessening. And again, the narrative shift is huge. Like, people now view Ethereum as a store of value. I do. I think Ethereum is here to stay. I think there's a very logical argument to say that Ethereum flips Bitcoin as the biggest market cap. I don't know whether it will. And I think probably not in this bull cycle anyway, and maybe not for a while. But in terms of what's built on top of it, in terms of what's used, there's more value there than there is Bitcoin. It's just Bitcoin is digital gold. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, because a lot of the people I talk to I live in this world where I understand how you can do very well investing in cryptos because I've done it myself. But then I also live in this sort of normie world where I talk to people about it and they say stuff to me like, because it defies a lot of ideas behind investing where, you know, if I want to buy a stock, I can go on Yahoo Finances and see how much they have in assets and liabilities in this company. Whereas people talk to me, they say, well, you know, the Bitcoin is just, it's kind of this mysterious thing and we don't know who made it. And how can you trust this sort of thing? And you can't go to the store and use it to buy, you know, stuff at the Walmart or whatever. And I don't have a good response to that besides saying, sure, but I've invested and I've made money off of it. So, you know, and then their reaction would also be the same of like, well, I guess he's right though. He is making money off of it. So, I guess that's like my question. I'm trying to think of how to frame this question. What would you say to someone who's, cause I'm sure you've had these conversations before where people say, oh, this is just a big Ponzi scheme, which is kind of what that manifesto was for that guy that lit himself on fire outside of the Trump trial. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he was implying that crypto was a Ponzi scheme, and I didn't understand what he was saying. It didn't make sense to me. But what do you think about all that? I think that's all just like people that just don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, with that guy, there's a lot of ways to get attention. I think that's a bit extreme. I read his manifesto. It was somewhat incoherent. Like, he made some good points in certain senses. I don't think they were crypto related, mind you. I mean, you know what? It's a very, he made the point, obviously, with regards to Bitcoin or crypto being a Ponzi scheme and it being a plan to, I think his phrase was, it's going to be a plan to crash the global economy, something along those lines, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why would it be crypto? Was my thought. Because genuinely, like, if we're talking about Ponzi schemes, did we have central banks? like there's no bigger Ponzi scheme than the fiat currencies. How many, like, I try and explain this to people. It's a very, it's always interesting having a chat with someone that doesn't really understand central banks, right? But if you just look over the recent history, you've got countries like Venezuela, that's fiat currency died, Zimbabwe, the Republic of China. You can go back to the 1100s where the imperial Chinese paper money died, right? And fiat money dies. Now, you have a, I always explain central banks in this way to people, right? I've decided to start a country. I've got this land, I've got my people, but I need to give them some cash. So I go to the central bank because they're the only ones that can print my money. And I go, guys, I need money for my people. My people want to be happy, just need to disperse some money. They go, cool. I go, give me $1 million. And they go, no worries, here's your million. In 3 years' time, you got to pay it back with interest. Now, the interest is 10%. I go, no worries, I'll sort that out. I give my people my money, my million. They're free, they're frolicking in the world, and they're loving life. And then 3 years later, I go back to my central bank and I go, right, guys, I got to pay you. There's a million in circulation, right? There is no more money. So how am I meant to pay you another 10% on that? You know what I'll do? Let me take out some more money. Print me another million, and then I'll pay you back my 1.1. And yeah, I guess I'll have to pay you back 10% interest on the money that you've lent me again. It's an unpayable debt. It cannot be paid. Like, it doesn't make sense that anyone sees this situation and goes, oh yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I can't pay that debt ever as a country. How old is America as a country? Like, in terms of since their existence, because as of right now, the national debt is $35 trillion. How is that possible unless you're in a Ponzi scheme of money you can't pay back?
Oh, that's bleak. Okay.
But I'm serious. That's a good question.
And that makes me think, because when I talk to these people, I'm not good at debating. I'm terrible at it. But now that you're talking, I think the good rebuttal would be to ask if they understand how our money system works. That's confusing too. Like with the Federal Reserve and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
It can't be paid. But so with Bitcoin, there's an interesting question there, right? No one knows who made it. Satoshi Nakamoto, this magical, mysterious guy. We don't know who that is. And the concept was created as an opposition to the current monetary systems that are in place. Now, if he's legit, fantastic. But if he isn't, let's look at where the world's going. There is a very clear narrative. There is a very clear agenda that the world wants, or the powers that be want this world to be digital. I mean, that's obvious. Like, no one needs like that explained, I assume, right? Now, how do you get people comfortable with the idea of something like a CBDC, which, by the way, is the worst fucking idea I've ever, like, in terms of something that's going to be a massive problem for people worldwide? A CBDC is up there as one of the single worst ideas I've ever heard. It's terrifying. But if you're going to get people comfortable with a CBDC of no cash in society, how the hell do you get them comfortable with it? Well, you've got to show them something that they want to be involved in. So something like Bitcoin, where people are making insane money, is a way to get people involved as a concept. If that was the scheme to get people involved, I could see that. But even then, you can't crash it. Because if you crash it, no one's going to want a CBDC because they're going to be shit scared of money. And so there is a, like... it doesn't quite make sense. Like, yeah, as a Ponzi, I can get the thinking in some regard, but it's not a fully formed idea. Like, certainly from the manifesto that I read, it wasn't fully formed anyway.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, that is one attitude I had about cryptos when I was, I researched it several years ago and wrote about it. And the one conspiracy theory about it that I can kind of get behind is what you're talking about, is the idea that the powers that be ultimately want the ultimate traceability over and control over our wealth or whatever. And
dude, it's terrifying.
This is a great way to do it. And in that same breath, I also say, and then you now know that there's some pretty good backing because the people that control the world are behind this. So financially, it makes a lot of sense to hop on that board if you're trying to make money with them, right?
But that's it. So regardless, even if it is like a scheme, still a win-win. Like, there's still a window where you can make a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. But the CBDCs as concept, like, yeah, man, that's that. There's There's so much that's worrying about that. That's you know, one step away from subjugation. That's not something anyone should be okay with. And I'll be on the streets protesting a CBDC.
What is a CBDC? I don't know what that means.
So the central bank digital currency. So they're going to get rid. So you're going to get rid of money. There'll be no cash, but we'll use CBDCs. But did you see the? I don't know if you saw. You know, the World Economic Forum. They were talking about CBDCs. They were like, you know, because it's programmable money, what would be useful about CBDC? You know, we can put in things like fuel allowances for people. We could use it to improve healthcare. What do you mean? So if I have two takeaways, you're going to say I can't have a third. Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah, that's like, it. Yeah, the great, it's this great, know, reset stuff. Absolutely. Dude, and that's where, you know, that's where I put my... put my conservative hat back on, and I put on my capitalist hat back on, because I'm with the Bill Cooper camp. Bill Cooper talked about how socialism sounds great on paper, but the problem is you've got these psychopaths running the joint, and they're always going to find a way to control you with that. So yeah, you have to, unfortunately, you know, subscribe to some level of capitalism. So yeah, and that's where the Great Reset is going to get us, is this sort of then dictating. I already get, you know, here in America, we've got, I get things in the mail about how I'm using too much electricity and too much natural gas. And they say, oh, you're using more than your neighbors. And I'm like, there's no way I'm using more than my neighbors. There's just no way. It's like, it's just me and my wife in this house. Anyway,
also you should send a letter back just saying "fuck off." It's my money.
I know. That's what I said. I was like, "I'm paying the bill." You act like I'm not paying the bill. What are we talking about? Anyway,
you know, if we drive, like, if you drive into London, there's like a ULEZ charge for. So you get a charge every time you drive your car in London for like the emissions that it does.
Really?
So yeah. So you're taxed every time you drive. Like there's only a few places in England, but this is what I mean. And like, it ticks along, you know, it's just these little things that add up and add up and add up and add up. And then if you got central bank digital currency, that's programmable, dude. Oh, you've spent $50 on fuel this week. I don't think you need any more fuel. What?
Right.
Tell me, I need more fuel.
Oh man, what a mess. Okay. That's interesting. Now, I'm gonna loop back one more time to Ethereum, because I see our time's running low here. And this is a selfish question because I am bullish on Ethereum. What does that look like for, since you think we're in a bull cycle currently? Is there a predicted peak? At what point do you think that, like, dollar amount, do you think the peaks will be? Because I hear lots of predictions. Obviously, nobody knows, but no. You know, because it really jumped up a lot in the last couple months, and then now kind of cooled off just a touch.
Yeah. Well, the market right now is cooling off, obviously. I mean, we've had a little bit of a pullback, and we're probably going to have that for a little bit longer, which actually, by the way, makes it the perfect time to sort of buy into crypto while the markets are either moving down or sideways, because you're buying in at better prices. It's just the way investing works. And Ethereum right now is having a bit of a pullback, but realistically, this will get an ETF. The question of ETF is when. That is going to very much depend on what the legal framework is for how long the SEC can kick that can down the road. But the moment that an ETF happens, the exact same thing that happened to Bitcoin will happen to Ethereum. It will blast. Now, I am in the camp. I've heard a lot of people, like, again, the sort of influencers talking about Ethereum, you know, from 8,000, 15,000, 20,000. I saw someone predicting 50,000. It's now there's no way it's hitting 50,000 this bull cycle. I can just get that out of anyone's mind right now. There's just no bloody way. Not this bull cycle. I think there is a real realm of possibility for Ethereum to go anywhere from 8 up to around 12 to 15. Like, my honest thought looking at Ethereum is it should hit five figures this bull cycle. Like, It really should. There is no, absolutely no reason. Ethereum in and of itself is everything that's built on it. It is literally the linchpin of crypto in so many ways. I don't see how, and it's a store of value now. I don't see how this doesn't break $1 trillion market cap with ease. I actually think 15 could be on the cards as well, to be honest. I think 10 at least, 10 at least.
And as far as people trying to buy in, they're going to be saying, well, I don't know when's the right time. This, you were saying that the idea is that this bull cycle would be longer than the previous bull cycle, or have sort of triple peaks or something like that. About how long do you think that is? How long do you think a bull cycle is going to be on this third or fourth or whatever one we are on right now?
I think there's a very real possibility this lasts until summer of next year, maybe a bit longer. Okay. I think we're currently in a pullback phase. We've had our first run. ETFs have changed the narrative a little bit, but we're in a pullback phase right now, a little bit. It's not been huge yet, but April ended pretty significantly down from the gains of March. So I think there's a good shot that May is going to be a bit of a pullback month. And then we might get a bit sideways before it starts slowly rising. So, and then, like I said, you know, if we're using the sense of the last few halvings and how the timeframes have lengthened, you know, it might be September, October before we're seeing that sort of real big move to the upside. Okay. And then, yeah, we might have another iteration of it again. It could be two waves. It could be three. I think there's a very real possibility for three, but two is, you know, there's a decent, in all honesty, there's probably an equal likelihood of both two waves and three waves. My instinct is just on three based on the widening timeframes that we're seeing. But I think we're running into the summer of next year. Like, it does look it. The only stopping of that is external variables like the, you know, central banks, etc.
For people listening who think, well, I don't know if I'd trust all this, I will say that from my experience of watching this stuff, you know, because the bear cycle kicked in, I think it was maybe at least two years ago this happened, or maybe three even, that everything started sort of dropping. And, you know, and Bitcoin went all the way down to, it was below 10,000 for a bit here, even in this last bear cycle. And 2-3 years ago when this first started happening, and I watched my wallet go down to nothing. I said, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I talked to a close friend of mine who's really, he's super into crypto as well. And and he follows all the sort of crypto advice you find around. And he's like, yeah, everyone's saying that 2024 things will start perking up again. And here we are in 24, and that's exactly what happened. So there is, I don't want to say there's a science to it, but there's definitely, I think you nailed it when you said it doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. I want people out there to, you know, if they missed out before, like, now's the time to give it a shot. You know, if you're in the position.
And with the halvings, you sort of know the pattern. Now, obviously there's like, you get a lot of rumors around halvings and stuff as well. There's an interesting one that started with the death spiral on Bitcoin. That is not something that actually can happen off of the basis, because what ends up happening with Bitcoin is every 2 weeks, the mining difficulty adjusts. So, you know, if you had like, I don't know, 10,000 miners leave, stop mining it, they can't afford it anymore because of electricity costs. Then the mining difficulty drops, so that the miners that are currently present can so that it's easier to mine. So that, because the whole algorithm is built so that there is a block produced every 10 minutes. So the thing auto adjusts every 2 weeks to make sure that it can always run smoothly. So it's an interesting one, because there is a point now where we're going to see. I think we will see individual miners maybe stop mining Bitcoin, because if it's just, say it's just me, right? Or one of my mates, earns, let's say, 30 grand a year, but he's paying 8 grand on electricity costs to mine Bitcoin, and then he can't sell it for profit. Well, he might stop, but you've got corporations that have hectares of land full of mining rigs. They're going to carry on mining it. So it's always going to move forward.
I see. Okay. All right. I'm looking at the time and I know I got to let you go. So I want you to tell the audience where they can find you, because there's a couple places to clear it up. You've got a YouTube channel that's free, and then mm-hmm. you've got the subscription service that I'm always sponsoring and that we talk about all the time on at crypto.com, or I'm sorry, copymycrypto.com, excuse me.
Yeah, crypto.com is an exchange.
Yeah, we know that. So tell them where they can follow you.
So if you guys, so like I say, I run the Crypto James YouTube channel, but it depends on how you're feeling about crypto right now, but if you're not feeling ready to actually enter the market, or you're not feeling ready to actually do the deep dive into the research and try and filter through the 2 million coins that there are, then go onto copymycrypto.com/Isaac. On there, what you'll see is what the members have earned since being there. You'll also see my public record. Like, this is completely public. You can go onto YouTube. You can verify absolutely everything that you've read on the website. Now, copymycrypto.com is where I do all the work. I dive into the markets. I find coins that are going to make me great money. And when I do, I jump onto my site and I tell all the members what the coin is that I'm looking at buying, what percentage of my money I'm going to put in, what price I'm going to buy that coin at. So my members get in on the coins at the same price. When I sell that coin or any coin, I tell them what coin I'm selling and at what price. They get out of coins at the same price. So there is no work for the members. They make the exact same money as me. And that's why there are thousands of members on the site. And if you actually go onto the site to see what they've earned, you can get why. And the thing is, right now, the market is pulling back. And we might have a couple of months of this sideways action. This is actually, so if you don't have any crypto holdings or crypto positions, or you're not happy with them, this is actually the perfect time to fix your portfolio, because once the market starts moving again, you know, things are going to start, you know, Bitcoin will go to new all-time highs. You're going to start seeing coins go to new all-time highs. And if you've not got it sorted in the next couple of months, you're going to have missed the boat on actually making the money that can be made in these markets. Yeah, so like I say, copymycrypto.com/Isaac, and you can join for just $1 today.
Yeah. And it's what's lovely about, for people who are new, if they go that route, you have a video on there, a couple of videos for introducing people how to buy crypto, where they can go to do it, you know, the kind of the basics of how to get started, you know.
Yeah, we've got step-by-step tutorials so everyone actually understands everything. And I say this to my members as well, is like, look, I love the money that can be made in crypto. I don't love crypto. I think I made that clear on my CBDC rant. But I use crypto as the vehicle to make the money to get into the things that I want to get into, like properties and stuff. And I talk through all of that on the site as well. You know, the long-term investments are beyond crypto. Crypto is just the vehicle to get those things going. But the tutorials are all on there. It cannot be made more simple for any of the members at all.
All right. You're a smart man. Thanks for sharing your information with us, James. And I definitely always recommend people to your product, your service. At the bare minimum, they need to subscribe to your YouTube channel. I'll put the links in the show notes for all these things. And it really is good. I've been with you for years now, and there's a reason for that. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Isaac. Cheers.
All right. There you go. He's the man behind copymycrypto.com. And you can check out all of his stuff. You can go to his free YouTube channel at Crypto with James, or you can sign up for $1 to copymycrypto.com/Isaac. Those links are in the show notes. And he's been a longtime sponsor. I want to thank James for coming on the show. Now, stay subscribed to my podcast, because the next episode, of course, barring any crazy international incidents here, my next episode, we're going to be joined by Billy Peterson. He is a financial advisor. So we're going to the other side of the spectrum. If you're like, man, I don't want to mess with this crypto stuff. I want to hear about stocks and investing and the state of the economy, inflation. Well, I got an expert for that. So stay subscribed, because we're going to come back with that. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive.